All right, you guys can be seated. Isn't our worship team awesome? Man, I'm telling you, I love worship, and it's I praise God I don't have a mic when I sing, but you know, ushers, could you help him? Anyway, worship is a breaker. It helps to set the atmosphere. It helps to open up, hopefully, your heart to begin to receive the word. But for me and for Pastor Thomas, it's a breaker for us to allow us to preach the word of God in spirit and truth that you would receive it. Amen? Amen. So I just appreciate the worship team so much. Have you noticed here I've got a sword? I'll explain that here in just a little bit, and we'll get into the message. How are you doing this morning?
Great.
For those of you who don't know, yeah, all right. Woo-hoo. For those of you who don't know, my name is Pastor Eddie. I'm one of the pastors here. And Pastor Thomas is here, but he was lazy and didn't want to preach, and so he asked me to do that. No, he was enjoying some much, much deserved, well-deserved rest time, him and his family. And so he asked me to preach this morning. And we're in between a series, and so I'm going to preach a message today entitled The Warrior of Peace. And one of my favorite quotes from a martial arts legend is Bruce Lee, and it says, "Empty your cup so that you may be filled. Become devoid to gain totality." Now, this quote is an original to Bruce Lee. It was has its origins in a parable of a wise old master who had an encounter with a professor. And the story goes something like this. The professor was seeking wisdom, and so he comes to this wise master and ask him to help him to so he can be enlightened. But after a little bit of time, it quickly became apparent and obvious to the master that this professor is more interested in showing off his knowledge than he is in obtaining wisdom from which he came to receive. So in the middle of this encounter, every time that the master begins to speak, the professor interrupts the master after each and every teaching, telling up his own story kind of as a follow-up. And it becomes this kind of game of one-upmanship where instead of really listening, he tries to outdo the master. Now, you may know someone like this, or if you don't, maybe you are that person. So they go back and forth for a little while, and the master says, "Hold on a second, would you like some tea?" And the professor says, "Yeah, I would love some tea." And so the master brings out the tea set and the cups and everything, and he begins to pour the tea. And as the tea fills the cup and comes to overflowing, he continues to pour until it begins to spill out over the cup. And finally the professor says, whoa, it's full. There's no more that can fit in the cup. Stop pouring. And the master looks at the professor and says, "You're like this cup. You're so full of yourself that you can't receive any more. Empty your cup so that you can be filled." A lot of us live our lives this way, full of knowledge, full of experiences, good and bad, but they can often limit us or completely even prevent us from learning or experiencing anything else. This is most evident, I find, when dealing with pain, when dealing with hurt, loss. We become so experienced and so familiar with that pain, with that hurt, and with that loss, that they become a part of our identity. We don't know any other way to identify ourselves, but through that pain and through that hurt, they become our truth. Now, it's not that we want to delegitimize the truth. Some of those things have happened to us. We have experienced pain. We have experienced hurt, but they are not our identity. They are not who we are. Listen to me. Your truth doesn't have the power to change you into something that God designed you to be. Only God's truth has the power to change you in who God has designed you to be. Amen?
Amen?
You have to empty your cup You have to get out your truth. Because despite what you think, despite what you've learned, despite what you've experienced, when you empty your cup, Jesus says, God says, all things work together for those that love me and are called according to my purposes. So when we empty ourselves, when we become devoid of the things that we experience, the things that we feel, the things that have hurt us, when we empty that out, then God can fill us back up with healing, with restoration, with renewal, with revival. That's what God's intent is for us. If you've ever been in my office, you've seen this sword. And when people don't follow counsel, this is what I use. I'm kidding. It's a samurai sword, and the word samurai itself means those who serve. That's the definition. And so when I found that out, I love martial arts movies, it got me to wondering if it's possible to be like a Christian samurai. And so I began to do some research, and while there are definitely elements of the life of a samurai that we would not want to emulate, there are virtues and their characteristics of their life that really do have biblical application. And so I studied this out, and I put together a teaching that I do in a life group that I've done in the past called The Christian Samurai. And there's in part of my studies, there's a book, and it's called The Hagakure, and it's an 18th century book written about the samurai. And listen to this quote. This is the substance of the way of the samurai, or this is the substance of the way of those who serve. If by setting one heart right every morning and evening, one is able to live as though his body were already dead, he gains freedom in the way. His whole life will be without blame, and he will succeed in his calling. How many of us can say that we do this? Quiet times, every morning and every night, that set our heart right. I think it's safe to say that most of us feel lucky if we get one good quiet time in there in a day, let alone two, that actually set our heart in the right place. To be at peace in our innermost being. Now, listen to the scripture here in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. It says, if you hold to my teachings, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word of God declares that Jesus is the way, he is truth, and he is life. And it also declares that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's another old wise master who said this: we must unlearn what we have learned. We must unlearn what we have learned. His name was Yoda. This will help you.
You must learn, unlearn what you have learned.
Okay. We have to empty our cup. We have to empty the cup of our truth, of our experience, of our reality, and then grab a hold of Jesus. Be filled with the Word of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God that brings everything that we need into our lives. It's not our way. It's Yahweh. It's truth. It's life. Some of you got that. Now, if you're taking notes today, again, the message is called The Warrior of Peace, and let's get into it. This, by the way, The Warrior of Peace, this was and is the way of Jesus. Jesus is the warrior of peace. Amen? Jesus knows the way of peace. He is the way of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He understands, listen to me, he understands the source of all the wars that we go through, all the pain that we experience, all the hurt, all the rejection, all the fear. Jesus understands all of that. He understands everything that happens within our souls, everything that the world throws at us that fills our cups. He knows that all the problems begin inside the human heart. So in order to empty the cup of pain and hurt and all those things, we have to pick up our cross daily, follow after him, the Prince of Peace, and the path that he leads us on. This is ultimately where we find the inner peace that we need. In choosing to follow Jesus Christ, you choose the way of the warrior of peace, and it leads you to your own peace. Listen, the journey towards peace, it requires self-mastery. In other words, we have to learn to overcome all of the enemy's tactics that he comes against us with. Everything that he uses to attack the human spirit, we have to overcome those things. Things such as fear, things such as doubt, things such as bitterness or anger, unforgiveness, jealousy, greed, whatever it is, the enemy's going to throw all the things that he can at you. You have to overcome. Why? Because Jesus already overcame for you. Appropriate by faith what he's done, and then you overcome. See, some of those enemies, man, they're all too familiar to me. In my own personal journey, I've had to overcome those things, fear and doubt and anger, especially. I had to learn to overcome. I'm still learning to overcome those things. And in the midst of my overcoming, I learned this very profound truth. Listen, the world within you creates the world around you. If there is anger and bitterness and frustration and unforgiveness inside of you, I promise you, it's affecting the world around you. Do you hear me? In my individual experience, my own, not even my individual experience, my family experiences too, in the area of anger, I could shut down the room in a heartbeat. My volume would rise, the intensity, my face, which, and I have a, I mean, this is a, not a happy face a lot of times. You know, it's just, I carry a certain look that people says, "Are you okay, Eddie?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm great." Tell your face. It's not working out for you, buddy. But there was an anger inside of me. It was a borderline rage inside of me that would, it was so explosive that it would literally shut down the house to where even the dog was like, "I'm out of here." And what I learned was that thing inside of me, in my world, was affecting the world around me. And so I have to learn. I'm learning and had to learn how to master that thing because it's always crouching at the door waiting for me to put it back on. If we're full of fear, if we're full of doubt, bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness, it will spill out to those around us. And here's the challenge for you and I. The peace that God intends to give us doesn't happen by accident. We have to be intentional, and we have to discipline ourselves. We have to discipline our soul to become the warrior of peace. You have to win the battle inside your own heart. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to empty the junk and then fill you back up with his fruit. Fill you back up with his gifts. This is what you want. It's what I want to give to those that are around me. Not the lies that the enemy has tried to fill me with. Because listen, every war that we have against someone else is a war that should have never been fought. That battle should have already been won from within first. To know true peace as a warrior is not in refining your skills against your spouse to fight. It's deliberately choosing the path of peace from within, first and foremost. Now, this may sound contrary to you, but hang with me just for a minute. Peace has to be fought for. But it's not the person in front of you. It's the person inside of you. Peace won't and doesn't come passively. It comes through constant struggle and sometimes seemingly endless battles. Job describes it this way in the book of Job, chapter 3, verse 25. It says, "For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I'm not at ease. I'm not quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes." I'm sure if that's for some of us, we can identify with these words, some more profoundly than others, possibly. This is where the journey begins. We need to find peace. Because from peace, we gain strength. The missing peace that our soul longs for is found in Jesus. Think about it. Jesus himself lived in turmoil and conflict from the moment he was born. When he was born, it was during an infanticide where the king was killing every male child two and under to try to find him. As he grew up, and he grew up in a world where the Jewish people were oppressed by the Roman Empire. Yet in the midst of all of that, he not only walked in peace, he was peace manifest in the people around him. Later on, towards the end of his life, he said this to his disciples in John 14, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." In those three sentences, Jesus cuts to the heart of what the enemy uses to steal our peace: worry and fear. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Don't worry. Then he says, "Let not your hearts be afraid." Don't have fear. Now, worry can be expressed in this way. It can be expressed through stress, through despair, through depression, and the list can go on and on. Worry projects the negative into the future. It's a negative act of faith deeply seated in that worst case scenario. It's not rooted in reality, but it affects reality. Jesus goes on to say, "Let not your heart be afraid." See, where worry steals our peace and joy, fear comes to steal our strength and our courage. Fear is the enemy of peace, and fear establishes the boundaries of our freedom. If you're operating in a spirit of fear, you're limiting. The fear has limited. It only allows you to go a certain place, because any other place, the fear really takes over. So it creates a boundary around you. But when we find that peace, the peace that only Jesus can give us, we have both strength and courage to live our lives the way that we were created to live them. Here's the key. True peace only comes when we're willing to face the very things that steal peace. We have to be willing to confront fear and doubt and bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. If we don't, we remain slaves to those things. And we don't know peace at that point. You see, when we lose peace, we lose the present. We lose the here and now. We become trapped in our past, and paralyzed by the future with no peace in the present. Here's another quote by a martial arts master. You are too concerned with what is, what was, and what will be. There's a saying, he says. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. That was Oogway from Kung Fu Panda. Probably want to check that out now. You see, Jesus came to reconcile our past. To give us the gift of new life now, the present, in order to lead us and launch us into the future. We have to allow him to do that very thing, to reconcile the past, to reconcile our pain and all the things that we've gone through. We have to allow him to get us off of high center in the present so that we can enjoy and step into the future. Let me give you an example of how this would play out. Depression. Depression is rooted in the past, and it's how our soul processes regret. Depression. Fear. Fear is anxiety. Anxiety processes the fear. And here's how it happens and works together. Depression traps you in the most painful memories of the past. And then anxiety imagines that past in its most painful future. So you're stuck in regret about all the things that happened here in the past. And you're thinking to yourself, well, because it happened here, it's probably going to happen there. And so I guess I'm stuck here in pain, in depression, and in anxiety. You become stuck in the presence without peace, full of fear, full of doubt, full of bitterness, and all those other things. But here's the remedy. That's the truth. That's the truth. I was depressed, and this was the things that held me depressed. And I have anxiety because I don't want to repeat this again, and I don't want it to be in my future. God, what is the remedy? Well, I'm glad you asked. Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, with prayer and with supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. See, the path to freedom from our past and freedom towards the future is found in the gift of right now, the present. We have to choose today to experience God's presence here in this moment. To receive his healing here, now. By humbling ourselves. The scripture says supplication. Simply humbling ourselves before God. And realizing we can't do it on our own. We need him. I humbly come to you, Lord, and I say, I've got anger in my life. I'm dealing with depression. I've got anxiety. But I come to you, Lord God, humbly, bowed down in spirit. Say, help me, Lord God. We humble ourselves in prayer. We empty our cup. And we allow him to deliver us from the bondage of the enemy. It's about emptying our cup and fully placing our trust in him. Allowing him to take those things from us. And more importantly, allowing him to fill us back up with himself. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He is our peace. He is who and where we place our faith and our trust. He is our constant. He is our steady. He's our rock. Isaiah 26 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Now, the way of peace doesn't mean that we become passive and powerless. The way of peace that we're to walk in is a revelation of power. It's a revelation of power that we receive from Jesus, that comes from the battle of peace that we fought within ourselves. Remember, Jesus was never powerless. He was, he is, and he forever will be the picture of strength. Although he was meek, we can't get it twisted, he was never weak. The warrior of peace knows that peace doesn't come from trying to control a person or a situation, but from letting go of that control. You see, everything that we try to control that truly is outside our control, that's a peace stealer. Whether it's circumstances, the actions of others, or unexpected outcomes, when we try to control those things, they steal our peace. But when we focus on the things that we can control, like our character, the choices that we make, the processes that we go through, these things help us to walk and maintain peace. So it's a balance of taking control and relinquishing control. And even for Jesus, there was no escape from the war that raged within his human spirit when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried out, "God, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. But not my will, yours be done." Think about it. In the most violent moment of his life, when Jesus was on the cross bearing the sins of the world, brutalized for our sakes, he made a way for us to know peace. This is the way of the warrior of peace. It's not to run. It's not to shrink back from the thing that's raging inside of us. It's at being at peace in the midst of that storm, in prayer, in everything, with humility, with thanksgiving. We take ourselves to God. We empty our cup, and we allow him to fill it back up. When we do those things, the scripture promises, is in Philippians chapter 4, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Where there is peace, there's no worry or fear. And the journey to peace begins within our own hearts. We acknowledge the worry. That's our truth. But we know that our truth doesn't have the power to change us. We have to empty ourselves of our truth. We have to face our fears. We stand in the midst of pain, and we're filled with God's truth, so that we're able to walk as warriors. Warriors of peace, courageous, even in the midst of uncertainty, but certain that the one who was with us Jesus will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will reconcile our past. He will establish in the gift of now, the present, and lead us into the future and the hope that he's planned for us. I believe that we're all warriors of peace. And it begins when we empty ourselves. We empty our cup and receive all that God has for us. That changes everything. Amen? Stand up with me if you would. This week, as I was praying about this message, and I hope that you were able to grab something out of it, I really felt that many times in ministry, and we receive a message, we hear a message, and we respond by raising up our hands and or, you know, bowing our heads and closing our eyes. But I feel like today I want to ask us to do something more than that. And I want you to know that, just so you understand it, how important it is to me that I'm up here first. But if there's a battle that you're fighting right now, where you have no peace, that you're battling anger, fear, depression, anxiety, whatever label that you want to put on it, but you're in a battle right now, and it's from within, and it's manifesting outwardly, I want you to do this for me today. Instead of just bowing your heads and closing your eyes, instead of just raising your hands, I want you to come forward. And this is why. Because I believe what the Spirit spoke to me is that some people need to take a step of faith to know that when they empty themselves, I'm going to fill them back up. So if that's you here today, would you please now begin to come down right to the front here? We'll just spread out in the middle. In whatever area, there's no fear, there's no condemnation, none of those, there's no shame. Don't let the enemy convince you of those things. Just come forward. And listen, this message God preached to me first. Because there's things that I'm battling right now. And God said, Eddie, I want you to take a step of faith. You be the first one to step up and say, I've got some things in my life that I need to empty that stuff out before God so that he can fill me back up, because I need a fresh infilling of the Lord this morning. So if you're in your seats and you don't want to come down for whatever reason, would you just do me a favor? If you need to receive, then receive. But if not, would you just pray for the people that came up here? Just begin to pray for them right now. Father God, I thank you for each and every person up here this morning that's, for whatever reason, in their own battle. Lord God, there's been peace stealers coming in to take away their joy, to take away their happiness, Lord God, stealing from them the very things that you died to give them, Lord God. And as they took a step of faith today, Lord God, would you meet them in that place? And right now, as I'm praying, as I'm speaking, would you just begin to give those things to God? Empty yourself of your truth. And just be honest with him. He knows it anyway. But tell him, God, I'm dealing with anger right now. I'm dealing with fear right now. I'm dealing with jealousy right now. You empty yourself. You speak those things to God. He knows it, but he needs your voice. He needs to know that you're truly there with him, emptying yourself up. Don't hold on to your truth. It does not have the power to change you. Only God's word has the power to change you. Only God's word has the power to heal you. Only God's word has the power to deliver you. Empty yourselves before him right now. Father God, I come to you this morning and I empty myself, Lord God, of the worry, of the anxiety, of the doubt, of the fear, of the pain. I give it all to you, Lord God. That is the truth, Lord God. I lay it out before you. And I ask you, Father God, to take it. I give it to you, Lord God. I don't want it anymore. And now, God, I lift my hands to you and I ask you to fill me. Fill me, Lord God, with your love, with your joy, with your forgiveness, with your acceptance. Fill me, God, with your spirit. In your presence is fullness of joy, Lord God. Fill me this morning with your joy. I give you myself, Lord God. I give you my strength.